Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're going to be starting with chapter 2.
Okay.
Give it a couple of more minutes.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Understand.
Okay.
Martha?
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Lashemi Chud Kud Shabri Chu Ishin Tebi Kilu Urchimu Ukilu Ukilu Urchim. Liakta Lashem Yud He Bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maasei Yadenu Kanane Elena Maasei Yadenu Kananehu.
Hello?
Yes?
Has joined.
I have that we did chapter 2. I have a check by each one of the verses.
Okay.
Get some notes, and I have stopped here, but I have 4-21. I just didn't put the date. That may have been the
has
day.
Has joined.
Malk and I were together, and I wasn't sure what day it was.
Well, if I can't find the recording, we can do it again, but in the meantime, we will.
I don't mind repeating.
Let's start with chapter 3, and I'll look for the recording for chapter 2. First verse. Hine harote lefako lefaka al atzmo shetayim hine hakasha he who wants to watch over himself must investigate two matters. Paragraph 2. Ha'echat shetavonan ma'hu hato va'imiti shevahar. Lo ha'adam v'heira ha'amiti shenus me'mano. The first, that he contemplate what is the true good for man to choose and what is the true evil for him to flee from. We have free choice. If you don't know what your goal is, then your choices are going to lead you astray. Knowing what your choice is, knowing what your goal is, will cause you to leave and run away from the negative aspects. Knowing what your choice is then you can perceive your choice, your action to choose, as bringing you to that goal, or bringing you further away from that goal, chas v'shalom. Paragraph 3. V'hasheni al ha-ma'asim asher hi ose l'riyot im hem mekalel ha-tov o mekalel ha-ra. The second, on the actions which he does to determine if they are in the category of the good or the evil. We're talking about the trait of watchfulness. You have free choice. You make a decision. Now you have to evaluate whether the result is bringing you closer to Hashem or further away. The choices are that you're making are not, we're not talking about really the choice, we're talking about the actions. The actions that you do have to be evaluated. That's watchfulness. If you don't evaluate the actions you have done in the past, then you won't know whether to do that action again, or to change the action in the future. The fourth paragraph. V'zevashat me'ashev shaylo vashat ma'asei. This applies to the times when he is in the act of doing, and when not in the act of doing. This is a paragraph, it's a sentence that really takes a lot of contemplation. It's resting time. You're taking a nap. Resting time. You're watching TV. You've made a choice of doing an action. Now you look at that action and you can say, oh, that's this, what I'm watching on TV is very kosher. I'm watching a class. I'm watching YouTube on the internet and I'm getting the information from a class. So you watch your action. You've chosen YouTube. You've chosen the rabbi to listen to. Now, is it bringing you closer to Hashem or not? You've chosen to watch an entertaining program that is not a kosher program. It's not a harsh program. It's not an evil program. But you've chosen to sit and rest and let your mind go slack while you watch this program that is about jokes, and it gives you joy, and it elevates your mood. You made a choice. Does it bring you closer to Hashem or farther away? This is watchfulness, to be constantly watching what is your action, and evaluating your action as to whether it brings you closer to Hashem or further away. The fifth paragraph. Vash Sat me'ase shelo yase shumase me'bali shishakol oto b'mazne zot hadia. When in the act of doing, that he may not do any act without first weighing it on the scales of this understanding. Whatever action you start, first evaluate, is this action bringing you closer to the goal or not? This is what it means to be watchful. Paragraph 6. Wishilo b'sha'at ma'ase shi'ala lifanav zicharom kalal ma'asav v'yishko otam kamo gain b'ma'azni b'mishakel hazel reyot ma'yesh bam ma'he Liman yedaka oto ma min hato lahata meyad vo vilachataha zok vo im yimatse vahim min hara az yitavonin Bishakor, Bishachlo, Izetechavola, Yase, Lesor, Minhara, Hahu, Belitahar, Meimano. Not in the act of doing, that he bring up before himself the remembrance of his deeds in general and weigh them, likewise in these scales to determine what they contained of evil in order to relinquish it, and what of good in order to perpetuate it, and strengthen himself in it. If he finds in them of the evil, he should then contemplate and investigate, reasoning out a strategy to employ in order to return away from that evil and cleanse himself of it. This paragraph is very clear, yet it's very difficult to follow. One of the things that we are taught to do is to evaluate our actions from the day as we lie down to sleep. As we sometimes before we say the Shema, sometimes after we say the Shema, but we've made a decision to evaluate what actions we did during the day. Did we hurt someone? Did we help someone? Are we looking at that from our frame of reference, or are we looking at that from the other person's frame of reference? This is called a tikkun ha... What's the word? It's a two-word phrase. Tikkun ha-neshev, tikkun ha-cheshbon, or cheshbon ha-nefesh, evaluating the soul, the correction of the calculation. We have to think through our day. Did we hurt people? through actions? Did we hurt people through non-actions? Where are we? What are we doing? These questions need to be asked every day, every night, so that we can evaluate and do the judgment for ourselves, rather than have to have the fed in the spiritual level do the judgment for ourselves. Who would you rather have be your judge, you or three tzaddikim who have left this world and are sitting in judgment as a bet din for all of the souls who come up that evening? Verse, paragraph 7. V'davar zeh ha'odiyono ha'achmenu zakaronim levaracha be'amrim be'omrim nuach lo le'adam shelo nevara yoter mishnavara Akshiv Nishinavara If Shafash Vameyasav Vyeka Diyamre Im Shamesh Bhiva Maasav Vitareya Shishani Al Shonot Aim shite as harot tovolu ma'alot meod. Our sages of blessed memory taught us this is their saying. Our sages of blessed memory taught us this in their saying. It would have been preferable for a person had he not been created. But now that he has been created, let him examine, pishpush, his deeds. Others say, let him feel out, mashmesh, his deeds. See how these two terms are two very good and beneficial instructions. We didn't ask to be created. Actually, that's not true. We did ask, because as the endless vessel, we asked to die rather than to receive more. But once we are created, our sages tell us, examine your deeds. Or in converse, or in addition, they say, feel out your deeds. What's the difference between examination and feeling out? Feeling out is a level of the heart. Examining is at the level of the eyes, the level of the head. Which is higher, the head or the heart? We all know the answer to that, and yet we don't know the answer to that. Because some days our feelings are more important because they've led us astray and we've allowed them to. Or some days the feelings have allowed us to come closer to Hashem. But the typical answer is your head is going to be higher than your heart. But you have to realize that that's not necessarily true. It changes each and every day. The eighth paragraph. Kine ha-shafush, v'me'asim hu lechakor, al-kelal ha-ma'asim u'chatevonim, vo'hanametza v'hem ma'asim, asher lo ya'asav, asher ye'nam. Olachim alfi mitzvot Adonai Yohewahe adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Vechakiv ki kol asher yimatze Meila uvaram min haolam. Examining, pishpush, of deeds is to investigate generally one's deeds and inspect them to see whether they contain deeds which one does not do, namely that are not in line with the mitzvot of Hashem and his statutes. All that he finds of these, he should eradicate them from the world, from his mind, from his choices. That thought should not come to him. He should limit that thought. This is part of the examining. It's an intellectual exercise. You did an action that is considered negative. You hurt someone. You didn't mean to, but you made a choice to do an action. And that action draws you farther from Hashem. This is the evaluating watchfulness of the mind. The ninth paragraph. Achamishmosh. Aya. Achikri. Achikara, afilu b'ma'asim atovim, atzmim l'chakor v'lareot, ha'eshav ha'ananim, eze p'niya asher lo tu tova o eze. Alak Rashayit Starok Alehasiru Uvaru. Feeling out, which is mishmush of deeds, on the other hand, is investigation even on the good deeds themselves, to inspect and see if they contain any leaning, which is not good, or any evil component, which he needs to remove and eradicate. Feeling out is not a level of intellect. How do you feel out? How do you evaluate your feelings? This is very much part of the trait of watchfulness. Paragraph 10.
V'hareze k'mamashimesh v'vagi livachon hato v'chazak hu ohalash hu valo ken yimashmesh. Ma'asav levachon hakonatim v'tachalit ahi vachane ad sheyesh var zecha v'nake.
This is analogous to the feeling out a garment to ascertain whether it is good and strong or weak and frayed. So too he should feel out his deeds to ascertain their nature. Through an absolutely thorough examination until they are left pure and clean. What we're being told in this paragraph? What is your motivation? What are the feelings you feel that cause you to do a particular action? As you evaluate those feelings, you have to go deep. You have to evaluate, not intellectually, but what is your feeling? Just as it describes, you take a piece of cloth and you feel every inch of it to see if there's any tears, to see if there's the material itself is vibrant and strong and alive. You feel a piece of silk. Why do you feel a piece of silk? It gives you pleasure. It may give you pleasure, but that's the effort, feeling the piece of silk, feeling the piece of wool, feeling the piece of cotton. How will you know which one to choose? By the way it feels, or by the evaluation of the way it feels? Paragraph 11. Kilal hadavar yihye ha'adam me'ayin almasav. Kulamu mapakach al kol dirakav shelo tcheniya le'atzmo haragel ra'umeda ra kol shekein avira uvshia. The general principle that a man inspects all of his deeds and watches over all of his ways, do not leave for himself any bad habit or bad trait or bad motivation, all the more so any transgression or sin. The paragraph is clear. On a general level, one has to evaluate why they do things. On a general level, one has to choose to only do good. But that thought that seems to be good, but it creates the effect of hurting someone. How do I weed that out? How do I evaluate that properly so that it doesn't happen again? Paragraph 12.
Wehineni roah tzorich le'adam sheyehye midakdak v'shokel darkav davar yom b'yomo kesocharim hagidulim asher yiflasu tamid kol askitim leman lo yitekal kelo vayikva atim v'shaot lazeh shelo yihye mishkalo areya ela beka
I see a need for a man to be meticulous and weigh his ways each and every day, like the great merchants who continually evaluate all of their business matters in order that they do not degenerate. He should fix definite times and hours for this weighing, so that it not be haphazard, but rather with the greatest regularity, for it yields great results. This is like picking the time that you're going to study Torah in the day, and another time you're going to study Torah at night. If you identify the time to do your actions, you identify that time, it's as if it's similar to your studying Torah at the same time every day. It's consistent. You develop the pattern. You don't walk away from it. You don't miss a day. All of these mistakes are done by people because they do not choose consistency in their events. Paragraph 13. Wehakamim zakaronim lebracha orono befirush tzorech acheshavon hazewehu ma she'amru zal. Our sages of blessed memory taught us explicitly the need for this accounting. As they said, paragraph 14, Alken yo'amru ha-moshalim vo'u ha-shavun Alken yo'amru ha-moshalim b'tzarim Therefore, the ruler said, let us enter into an accounting. Therefore, the rulers of their evil inclination said, come and consider the accounting of the world, the loss incurred by doing a mitzvah against the gain earned through it, and the gain obtained by doing a sin against the loss incurred. Now, you would think that these words would have been in reverse order. You do a mitzvah, you should be receiving gain, but it's saying to consider by doing the mitzvah, you're evaluating the loss in doing that mitzvah against the gain that you earn through it. Well, how can you do that? You really can't. You don't know what the reward for a mitzvah is. You don't know the effect of doing the mitzvah. In fact, we're not supposed to do a mitzvah for a gain. So why am I being watchful about that motivation? The answer is, if you're doing the mitzvah in order to gain something, then you have to remove that desire for that gain of that thing. And that's the way to understand this verse. Now apply it to the negative side. paragraph 15. Wize ki haitza amitit azot lo yochlu letat ota velo lirot amita ela otam shekavar yitzave metachat yad yitzram umeshilo boki meshehu adim avosh vama asar itru en enavro aemet aze veino yachol lehakira ki hatzir masame et enav mamash vehine hi v'kacha olech v'choshech sheyesh lifnav v'kasha olot v'ein enav ruot otam. This true counsel could not have been given, nor could its truth be recognized, except by those who had already gone out of the hands of their evil inclination and ruled over it. For one who is still held captive in the prison of his evil inclination, his eyes do not see this truth, and he is incapable of recognizing it. For the evil inclination literally blinds his eyes. He is like one walking in darkness, where there is stumbling blocks before him, but his eyes do not see them. This paragraph is helping us to realize that if we do not transform our evil inclination, if we do not cause it to be, cause ourselves to become aware of utilizing the evil inclination, then we cannot see the world as it is meant to be seen at the level of truth. We're only going to be confused by what we see because it's being seen through a filter of the evil inclination. Paragraph 16. Wehu ma she'am roze al tashit hoshech vayihi leila ze haolam hazeh shedoma lalila. This is what our sages said. You make darkness and it is night. This refers to this world, which is analogous to the night. This verse is clear as written. Of course, it's analogous to night because we do not see in the darkness. And the darkness was made by Hashem. And that's something that is we need to contemplate to learn the truth of the statement. Hashem made darkness. You make darkness. And it is night when darkness reigns. Paragraph 17. Wehaven kama nafla hame amar. Ve'imiti hazel ameshe ma'amik lechavim bo. Ki hine hoshech ha'layla shenim mine ta'ot. La
Yiksa et ha'en ad shelo yireya ma shelafani kalil o shita'a oto ad shirala amod ka'iluhu adam v'adam ka'alu.
How wondrous is this truthful statement to one who delves deeply to understand it. For behold, the darkness of night causes man's eyes to err in two ways. One, it covers the eye so that he cannot see at all what is before him. Or it deceives him so that a pillar appears as if it is a man, or a man is a pillar. This verse is clear as written. It needs no commentary. At night you cannot see clearly, and therefore you perceive things incorrectly. Paragraph 18.
Kain homariot begashmiot ha'olam hazeh. Kena hu hoshech ha'layla le'ayin ha'shekel v'goram lo shete ta'aviyot.
So too, the material and physicality of this world, behold, it is darkness of night to the eye of the intellect, and causes him to err on two fronts. Paragraph 19.
Ha'echat einu mineyach lo shirai ha'makshilot shevadarake ha'olam.
First, it prevents him from seeing the stumbling blocks that are standing in the ways of this world. Verse 20.
Benimsaim hapadim olachim lavateach benoflim v'yovadim b'ibeli shehagiyam b'achad hatechala v'hu ma'ashe amar akatu.
Has joined.
Lo yode yodo beima yikashlao beomer arum rea rea benasatir ufatim avaru.
Thus the simpletons walk confidently. They fall and are lost without having felt any prior fear. This is what scripture refers to. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And the clever one foresees the evil and hides himself. But the foolish commits transgressions and is punished. And the wise one fears and departs from evil. But the fool transgresses and feels confident. For they feel as secure as an edifice, and they fall before having any knowledge whatsoever of the stumbling block. If you can't see the block in front of you, the blockage, the path that is a mistake, if you can't see it in front of you, you don't see the effect of these actions. You have no fear because you think everything is good without recognizing the mistake that the path you're following is leading you towards. Paragraph 21. Wahi taut hasheniya, wahi o kashe min hare shona, heya hamshemita, raitim achiroim, rahara kailu hi me mash. So vihetyo dailu ura umatiha bekein matahatikin vimahatikin masiem harein kien di shechasara. Mehem reyot ha'i emet l'riyot ha'reya asher nagid panichem ela shenayra lechem l'mitzva riyot gedolot v'nisidot mochachim savaru tachem ereyot belida avotechem akohanim akozavitim vervot akozavot. The second error, and this is even worse than the first, is that the darkness distorts their sight until they literally see evil as if it were good, and good as if it were evil. Thus they strengthen in clenching to their evil ways, where not only do they lack the vision to see the truth, to perceive the evil right in front of their eyes, but they also see fit to conjure up great proofs and convincing evidences to support their evil logic and false ideas. Start walking down the path of evil, you don't realize it until it's too late. That's what this paragraph is saying. It's a mistake to start down the path of evil just to see what's going on there. That's your justification and that's your mistake. Paragraph 22. Wizot hayo harea hagadola amilfafatem umeviatam el be'er shechat v'hu ma she'omer ha'katu v'shamen lev ha'am ha'zev yazniv v'ha read. Aini Hasha Pen Wigomer. This is the great evil which envelopes them and clings to them, carrying them to the abyss of destruction. This is what Scripture states: the heart of this people has become fattened, and its ears heavy, their eyes covered shut, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back and be healed. If you start down the path of evil, it's very difficult to turn around. Paragraph 23. I'm actually want to glance ahead to see if I should stop here, because we are almost out of time. Yeah, we're going to stop here at the end of verse 22 and pick it up next week, where we will complete chapter 3. And by then I will know whether I have the recording for chapter 2 or not. Any questions? We have two more classes today. One is at 4 p.m. West Coast time, which is the counting of the Omer in the Deep Zohar class. And our 7 o'clock class is questions and answers. So please bring your questions. I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Hey, shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
You too. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.